Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I think I'm in love with a retard.
Fine line between being vivacious and being vicious. Men really love that kind of bonding.
I love you. You complete me.
I'm Jim Burns. It's been said that when it comes to love and dating, opposites attract. And sometimes a very outgoing and exuberant young lady will find a quiet, reserved, nice guy and think that she's found the man of her dreams. However, oftentimes that nice guy image he's presenting is really a cover for the fact that he's emotionally detached and will never truly be able to establish any sort of real connection with her. In fact, he just may wind up checking out of the marriage altogether on an emotional level. Fortunately, there is a way you can correct this situation, and during the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with author Paul Coughlin about why men check out of marriage and how to help them check back in. It's going to be a most helpful conversation today on Homeward, and it starts right now. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Paul Coughlin is with us again. We're talking about why men check out of marriage. This is part two of a continuing conversation, a great conversation, about the fact that sometimes men are very passive, and they become very passive in their marriage. They disengage, and when that happens, the marriage begins to, well, fall apart, and intimacy is definitely what people are craving, but not receiving. Paul, welcome back to our program.
Glad to be here.
Well, we talked last time about the fact that you'd written a great book called No More Christian Nice Guy. Today, we're talking about a book called Married But Not Engaged. And we're talking about these nice guys. And, you know, a lot of times women will talk to me about saying, you know, my husband rages. My husband, you know, gets so angry. He just he's not a pleasant person to be with. But what you're saying is even that same guy sometimes becomes passive when it comes to intimacy.
Yeah. You know, rage and anger is a big issue for nice guys because they shove so many things down, right? They think anger is a sin. If they have received a certain Christian upbringing, all anger is a sin, which is unbiblical. It's not true. So they stuff emotions, and then it comes out like a volcano. What they need to do is learn how to be assertive and proactive, and they'll find that that reaction to life will begin to dissipate in ways that they would not have dreamed of when they were passive.
Now, we talked just briefly last time, and I want you to kind of help us understand the story. Passive Paul married assertive Sandy in some ways, and it wasn't going well at the beginning.
No, you know, it happens so often that it's not a coincidence. Passive people marry vivacious women, and as one Christian nice guy told me, he says there's a fine line between being vivacious and being vicious. So, and it's understandable, right? Because she mistakes his quietness as kind of a quiet strength. She doesn't know that he's hiding, right? She doesn't know that he's kind of like an adult squid. If you see on television, the diver reaches for the adult squid, and just as the diver is about to make contact, what does it do? Squirts out ink. That's what nice guys do. Nice guys don't want to be known because they fear being known. So she's constantly reaching out for him, and he's constantly squirting out a kind of a relational ink, right? Hiding behind a fake smile when he's really miserable inside. And she's so frustrated, she just takes out the bazooka of shame and just lets her rip because nothing else has worked. She's tried to be sweet with him. That doesn't work. So she'll be tough with him instead. It's wrong, but it's understandable that is her response.
Now, you've identified four paths to intimacy that actually make it right. And I want you to go through those four paths because I think they're really helpful and very practical, especially if someone is in a relationship like what you just described.
Yeah, that's great. He is not going to make the first move. You must know that. And though you may want him to make the first move, he's not going to. So you need to be wise as a serpent when dealing with a Christian nice guy. You need to kind of outsmart him at the get-go. Men tend to prefer two forms of intimacy: physical, which is probably no great news value to women, right? They probably already know that. And then shared recreational activities. We love to see it when husband and wives get involved in a physical activities, whether it be, you know, fishing together. Sandy and I fly fish together. I've never seen anyone look better in a pair of waders than my wife. you know, get on motorcycles together. Men really love that kind of bonding with their wives when they embark on physical things. And that's probably, sometimes that's not very attractive, arguably. Backpacking, for example, is not something some women get very excited about. But this, if you want to grow closer to him, get more involved in the physical connection that guys tend to prefer. And then once in that physical connection, chances are you're going to see him come alive in a way that he hadn't come alive with before. He's going to realize he's got, I don't know if he's have a lover, he's got a, you know, also a buddy and a friend. He's likely to open up in ways that he would not open up before. You know, and that all sounds kind of big, getting on a motorcycle, going fly fishing, maybe backpacking and other related activities. Just go for a walk. Just go for a walk. Guys tend to open up more when you go for a walk. I'm a soccer coach, and I've worked with boys now for about 10 years. And if you want to talk with them, just standing there face-to-face doesn't really work. We're going to go for a walk around the soccer field, and while the other guys are practicing, we're going to talk about some things. And by the time we kick that kid back into that practice, he's much more likely to hear and to be receptive to what I had to say. And I've built a closer relationship with him in the process. And if you do that physicalness with him, he's more likely to share his emotions, which is, again, one of the ways that women prefer to express and feel intimacy.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, Kathy and I walk. We walk the dog. And I like to do kind of a, actually, we live by the beach, and so I like to do kind of the slow walk. She wants to do the sweat walk. But you know what? That's where
we married the same woman, by the way. Yeah.
That's where we communicate.
Yeah.
It really is our finest moments of communication. And there are times when we're just, you know, talking, and all of a sudden things are coming out where I'm going, you know what, this probably wouldn't happen if we were sitting even at a table over a Starbucks or something. It's the walk. And so, you know, I see the motorcycle, I see the fly fishing, since, you know, neither I would ever get Kathy to do fly fishing on a motorcycle. Maybe.
There you go. Yeah.
But,
right.
But you know, even literally a way to start probably is the walk. Now, it takes some work at creating intimacy in a relationship, obviously.
Yeah,
and you talk about demanding attention, intention, and action. I thought that was very helpful. What do you mean by that?
Intimacy just doesn't happen. It must be created. There must be intention. There must be will. And when there is that will and that intention, that power goes into the relationship in a way that if it didn't exist otherwise, it just isn't going to happen. A good way to look at this is to look at the honeymoon itself. Most everyone goes on a honeymoon, a physical location, but not every honeymoon experience is intimate. And the reason for that is that you can go ahead and you have the most attractive room, all the candles, and it smells good, the stuff that women really like, petals on the bed or whatever, you know, chocolate too. And that's all great and wonderful, and that's a great setting. But if there isn't going to be a revelation of who you are in the presence of another person, there will not be intimacy. In order to create that intimacy, the person must be able to express themselves without fear that they're going to be rejected. And that's, I would say, of the two genders, that is the biggest fear that a guy has. You know, what's remarkable in regard to fear, Jim, we're all familiar with the scripture that perfect love casts out fear. Well, the inverse is also true. If you have fear in the driver's seat of your life, you're really not going to love very well. So it's very important to understand what fear is doing in a person's life.
Boy, that really is so important. I think a lot of people come to their marriages in fear, and then fear continues to be a part of their situation. Yeah, I think there are many of us who are like that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I actually want to unpack that just a bit, because I think you hit something that's very important for us to understand, well, why men check out of marriage and how to get more intimacy in a relationship. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. You're listening to Homeward.
Why men check out of marriage is a good topic here on the Homeward broadcast. This is part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author and speaker Paul Coughlin. If you missed any part of it, remember we archive all of our audio, and that archived material is available without cost. You can access it directly when you go to homeward.com. Just dig through the Homeward Daily programs or the Homeward Weekend editions, either the half hour or the full hour. With today's program, if you hit Paul Coughlin's name, where it's listed there as the guest on the program, it's hotkeyed, as they say. It'll take you right to his website, paulcoughlin.net, and you can learn more about his writing, about his speaking, and much, much more. We'll hear the conclusion of today's conversation in just a moment as Homeward continues.
We're asking folks, how do you keep the spark alive in your marriage?
Well, we have a date night every week.
The minute we're both home from work, the first thing we do is talk to each other and sort of kind of unpack the day. Then we can deal with the kids, the bills, and, you know, just the rest of our lives.
Oh, saying I love you. It's the last thing my husband says to me before we end a conversation. And it's the first thing he says to me when we start a conversation.
Well, I don't know if you ever tell your spouse enough times, I love you, but I do know it's important to do so every day. Loving your spouse brings security to your kids, and it will improve every other area of your life as well. It may take some schedule adjusting and perhaps the setting of some new priorities, but trust me on this one. When you acknowledge that God created your day, and you want to use that day in a way that's pleasing to Him, honoring your spouse will be a breeze, and it will put you on the path to creating an intimate marriage. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, encouraging parents, building families.
Welcome back to Homeward. Today, a great conversation, Why Men Check Out of Marriage. We have Paul Coughlin with us. We're talking about his book, Married But Not Engaged. And I think so many people are like that. They're married, but they're not engaged. They're not experiencing intimacy. And for many ways, we talked about it right before the break, it's because of fear. You know, there's fear, and both people come into a relationship oftentimes with fear, not even knowing. You know, they're excited about the marriage, Paul. But sometimes one of the great killers that you talk about is contempt. It moves, you know, toward contempt. Talk about this.
Well, realize that contempt wasn't there at the get-go, right? We go into a relationship with this natural grace, this natural goodwill. And unfortunately, in the marriage of a nice guy, that goodwill gets eroded. She keeps reaching for him. He diffuses the situation. He doesn't want to be known. And as a result, it just seems to be human nature, right? There's this contempt. There's resentment. She feels that she is being discounted, that she's being rejected. What she should realize is that in most cases, most of the time, he's going to do that with any woman that he's in a relationship with. He doesn't want to be known. He's in fear of being known. So you get this resentment and this contempt that is it's the elephant in the room. It's always there, always frustrating. It's a wall between the two. One of the best ways to get around that contempt is to show him respect, even when you don't feel like showing him respect. It'll grow him the way that that superheroes are grown. One of the great ways to do that is to compliment him in public, particularly around his family, and maybe even more so, particularly around her family. To speak him up, don't speak him down. Be a balcony person in his life, not a basement person. Hard to do, I know, because these women, and I have spoken with them, I've received numerous letters. Today's Christian Woman did a profile of me in regard to this book, and also No More Christian Nice Guy. And the letters I get from these ladies are just heartbreaking, right? Many of them just walk on eggshells, right? Because they don't know what their nice guy wants. Why don't they know? He won't tell them. He won't tell her, right? And my wife used to walk on eggshells a lot. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't know I was doing it. And I was sure glad that it got pointed out to me that I was doing it.
Well, if a woman is, you know, one of these women who've written to you and one of the women who feel this way, who are listening today, she wants to enter into conversation about relational matters with the man in her life. She doesn't want that man to disengage, to shut down. What advice do you give to her?
Well, again, you get more bees with honey than vinegar, right? You need to kind of sweeten the pot around him. You don't want to be seen. You don't want him to see you in his eyes as either a rolling pin over his head or a doormat under his feet. There's a lot of sins that go with the passive lifestyle. She is not called to follow him into those passive sins. She wants to hold up a fearful people don't see reality very well. So the spouse of a fearful man, particularly a man in fear of his emotions, must become a mirror of reality. So she needs to show him what his behavior is doing without shaming him, without embarrassing him, without searing his soul, so to speak. You know, one of the cruelest things of the nice guy problem is how it relates to raising children. A emotionally unengaged man is not going to relate to his children the way that he should. And that's a horrible thing, right? Because children don't know that. They don't know their father is emotionally shut down. They will think, the reason why dad doesn't talk to me, the reason why he doesn't cry when I cry or laugh when I laugh, is because there's something wrong with me. It's actually a form of neglect, if not abuse. So nice guys out there, if you don't want to do it for yourself, think about your kids. And that's one of the things that did it for me.
That's fascinating. I'm thinking of a family right now where the woman's mother is very dominant and the father is very passive and really is not engaged. This woman, who's about my age, she struggles with that relationship with her dad because she feels like her dad didn't bless her. Her dad didn't show her love. Right. Her dad never said, I loved you. In many ways, as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know what? He is a really nice guy. He just
unfortunately
does,
probably.
Yeah, he just doesn't engage in the family. Not because he's mean. I think it's because in his mind, much complaints, lots of negativity from his very domineering wife, and he's finally just kind of shut down.
Yeah, and like a mascara, he runs when emotions are expressed. Right. Mm-hmm. A nice guy is when emotions begin to fill the room, he suddenly gets very hungry and must go to the refrigerator. He must leave that situation because he is just so uncomfortable. Chances are most women most of the time don't want to dominate their husbands in that respect. But someone has to lead. If he's not going to take the lead, that home is going to flounder. It makes sense that she would step up to the plate of life and do those sort of things. It also makes sense that she would not do it perfectly. She would not do it well. It makes sense that she would sin in the process.
It's interesting because a lot of times I think the person just needs to say, look, I need to lead, even if it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
Just start the deal.
It does. And he needs to do that. And it is so much better, ladies, if you give him the freedom to do it, even if he does it wrong, at least he has stepped up to the plate of life and he's taking on leadership and he's trying. And please get behind him when he does step up, because it's often a rare thing. Chances are he's been shut down in the past that he didn't do it, quote, right, unquote. Let him lead in his way. And if he makes mistakes, be there to pat him on the back and be a balcony person and encourage him to keep going.
That is critical. And actually, at the same time, nagging shuts down intimacy. Complaints, negativity shuts down intimacy. What I'm hearing you say is do it without just dumping on him with all this negativity or he's going to run.
Yeah, and you know, the wild thing about complaints is they are often an intimate moment in disguise. There's a moment for closeness there that is often disguised, hard to see, but it is there. What the wives of Christian nice guys need to have in mind is that chances are right now what they're doing isn't working. They need another set of skills and tools and insight and motivation to really engage in that guy. Few of us are really trained really in how to do this. And so we put those insights into this book, and there's really nothing like it right now.
How can acts of goodwill help restore a marriage?
Acts of goodwill restore a marriage because it helps the nice guy see that he's got an advocate in his corner. And I want to go back again to those acts of goodwill. Two ways to really help him open up in front of you in those acts of goodwill include showing him your own weaknesses and showing humility in front of him, admitting your own mistakes, showing that it's okay to be human. It is okay to be wrong sometimes. That's what kills a lot of us when it comes to leadership. We don't want, we live in such fear of making mistakes, of putting our neck out there and doing it wrong, getting our head handed to us in a platter in the process, that we just don't want to step forward. Nice guys, again, marry vivacious women. These are women who really know how to take the bull by the horns and make things happen. Show how you too made mistakes as you led in your own life, and that it was okay and it didn't kill you. It just made you stronger.
How do you do that in the midst of really wanting to be committed? You know, the whole idea of commitment seems like there's some misconceptions with that.
In regard to commitment, we have some crazy ideas in regard to commitment where we tend to think of it in terms of like endurance. If you just endure the situation, you're committed. No, the word commitment is really much larger than that. It includes great acts of will. It includes a proactive approach and a willingness, again, to step out from a comfort zone and to take the arrows as you need to in that committed relationship. It really is not merely endurance. It has so much more to do with being on the offensive of life, to push forward and to anticipate problems and to be, again, wise as a serpent in dealing with those problems ahead of time.
Seems like it takes a lot of work to have a good marriage.
Does it take a lot of work to have a good marriage? You know, Yes, but as you gain greater and greater skills, it becomes a whole lot easier. I think that we have been led astray in many ways in regard to relationships, for example, personality profiles. Well, if we just have the right two personalities, we'll interlock and do great. Increasing amount of research is showing that it really isn't personality traits that make a relationship work. It's plain old-fashioned people skills on how you relate well to other people. Sandy and I should not be married today for 15 years. She is my best friend. We both work out of the house. A lot of people couldn't do that with their spouse. They go crazy. I can see her 24/7. I just love being around her. That wasn't always the case, though. Again, first few years, oh my goodness. But anyway, those plain old-fashioned people skills, that's really what leads to the intimate, closer relationships. We're both the babies of our families. She was far more assertive than I was when we got together, and me being more passive and fearful. Having gotten over that now, we really shouldn't be together. We're not the right personality mix. People skills came in and changed all that.
Well, that is very helpful. Thank you for being with us today.
I'm glad to.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Paul Coughlin here on the Homeward broadcast, back at the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. And you can learn more about APU when you go to homeward.com and follow the prompts. But as Paul's been talking to us and sharing with us, we're learning some valuable lessons about why men check out of marriage and how both husbands and wives can identify this issue in their marriage and do something about it. If you would like a copy of the full-length audio CD of this program, drop us a line. Include a gift of any amount when you write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, where the swallows go, the zip code 92693.
Paul Coughlin has been my guest today on Homeward. We've spent the past couple of programs talking about a topic that I suspect is affecting many marriages today. Very good conversation today. Personally, I don't believe that men sit around wanting to be quote-unquote Christian nice guys. I mean, they don't set out to become emotionally detached from their wives, but it does happen. And fortunately, there is something married couples can do about it. You know, my wife Kathy and I have been married for over 30 years, and we have a good marriage. But both of us would agree that at times it's a high-maintenance marriage, just kind of like a high-maintenance car. Well, there are times when we really connect emotionally, physically, relationally, even spiritually. But I will admit that there are also times when we have drifted over the years, partly because I struggle with this whole Christian nice guy at times. I feel like sometimes I'm a million miles away from my wife emotionally. During those times, it would be easy for me to kind of whine a little bit and blame Kathy for the way I'm feeling. But you know what? I really can't, because I know that I am just as responsible for setting the tone in our marriage as my wife is, or even more responsible. And that's why I want to conclude today's program with a challenge to us husbands to stop playing the blame game with our wives in this area. I also want to challenge wives to really hang in there with your husbands if you sense that he might be checking out emotionally from your marriage. First step down the road to a healthier marriage is by taking time to examine your own life. In 1 Timothy 4:16, the Apostle Paul gives some advice to Timothy, and he says, keep a close watch on yourself. And I believe another helpful way to help husbands check back into their marriage is to use awe, affection, warmth, and encouragement. I talked about this last time for just a moment. Your marriage needs affection in order to thrive, and you can create an atmosphere of intimacy and closeness through affection. I'm not just talking about physical intimacy here, but I'm talking about saying I love you. I'm talking about holding hands. I'm talking about going out of your way to romance your spouse. Also, it needs warmth. And as for warmth, I'm convinced that every couple can do a better job in this area. Sometimes marriages slip into bad habits, and a lack of warmth is a bad habit. I mean, your spouse is getting beaten up emotionally in so many different areas of his or her life. Don't make your home a place where that torment continues. Make the effort to keep the atmosphere warm and inviting at your home. And finally, never underestimate the incredible power of encouragement and affirmation. Showing encouragement involves being available to your spouse. You know, your presence in your spouse's life makes a major difference. And sometimes it speaks louder than words. Your availability, both physically and emotionally, says to your spouse that he or she is in a safe relationship. So don't expect to have a thriving marriage if there's too much hostility and lack of attention paid to your spouse. It just doesn't work that way.
It's good advice, Jim. And as we think about marriage and why men check out of marriage, I think about when you and Kathy put together your devotional book called Closer, and how you freely admitted that this is something that as a married couple involved in Christian leadership, it was tough to find a devotional resource that you could use even once a week that would help foster that kind of attitude, that intimacy that you were looking for in terms of communication. Closer is a book that can help couples who don't like to do devotions do do devotions together. Yeah, it's a 52 faith conversation starters. That's one per week. You can just have those dialogues with your spouse, and this is a book that will really help you. When you visit our online resource center today at homeward.com, you'll find complete details on how you can order a copy. And when you do order it from our Homeward Resource Center, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting the ministry of Homeward, and we truly appreciate that because your prayers and faithful financial support help keep this program on the air. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.